Mr. J. Lou Dobb, back with member guest. I think we're just kind of having you come on for all the majors, talk a little bit about gambling, talk a little bit
Let's
about,
go.
who we think is going to win. And it's always a hot podcast whenever we have you back on. So we're literally recording this Tuesday night, 2 days before the Masters. Personally, my favorite major. Is it yours too? It's got to be.
Yeah, it's the best one. Most hype. Only like, 60 golfers. Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me on. Rocking the member guest
You're rocking
hat.
the old one, man.
I
I
got
got a
the
new one
OG.
coming for you, and I got some
Got the OG.
new merch coming out soon too. I'll make sure to hook
Let's
you up with
go.
some. So we want
Rocking
to let's
the.
recap let's recap last year real quick. So obviously Jon Rahm won, and then he said that big decision for him to go to LIV was winning the Masters and getting, the lifetime invitation. Any thoughts on if, I mean, I don't think Rory would do this, but a guy like Rory wins this week, or even anybody else on the PGA Tour, do you think there's a chance that, maybe a guy like Hovland, if he were to win, would go to LIV, or do you think that was just kind of a ROM deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I think everyone probably has a price. I mean, it was sad to see Rahm go just because he, was arguably the best, or him or Scheffler, but, it is what it is. I hope someday they join back together. It's just nice having all the best in the world on one tour. It makes the, tournament more competitive and more exciting to watch. But yeah, I can't fault anyone for going. I mean, DJ was the first one to do it, and I don't know, didn't blame him at all. I mean, he won like three LIV tournaments the first year. Their team won the championship, so not only did he get that massive deal, he banked another 20 million on the year from. And it's really hard to do that on the PGA Tour compared to LIV. For those who don't know, PGA Tour has these elevated events now. They're paying around 20 million. Yeah, 20 million out. First is 3 million in these things or so, but you got to beat 150 of the best in the world, or close to the best anyways. Whereas on Live, you only have to beat what? Realistically, since half of them are shit, you really only have to beat 10, 15 guys to win 4 million. It's
Well,
nuts,
Taylor
man.
Gooch
So
makes it sound like they're playing all the top guys, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the rivalry's fun, It's good to see him. We only get to see him join together four times a
yeah,
year,
I was
and
going to
this is
say
one
it's
of
the
them,
first
so.
one of the year. Yeah, it's like the first one of the year that we really start to, see all the live guys.
It feels a little different this year because last year we didn't really know what to expect. Everyone was like, oh, the LIV guys haven't been playing, with the PGA guys. Are they going to, play as well or what? But I think they pretty much, got rid of that kind of story that, oh, they couldn't hang with the PGA guys, because a lot of them played really well last year, and I expect them
Well,
to do the same this year.
let's look at the top 10 from last year. And obviously Rahm was it. So this is the top 10 from the Masters last year, finishing. And obviously Rahm wasn't on LIV at the time, but winner at 12 under was Rahm. T2 was Koepka, who at the time was LIV at 8 under. T2, Mickelson, 8 under, LIV.
That was crazy.
Patrick Reed, 7
Yeah.
under. So you have, like, if we're fast forwarding to now, Russell Henley would be the only PGA guy that would have been in the top 5 at the Masters. That wouldn't be LIV, Rahm, Koepka, Mickelson, and Patrick Reed. So
I like what you did there.
you
You
put it
skipped
that
over
way.
Spieth. I like
Well,
that.
Spieth, yeah, he was T4 with Reed and Henley, right? I just went by. I wonder how they do that. It
Chart.
must be alphabetical. Yeah, Henley, Reed, Spieth. Yeah, that would make sense. Sure, we'll give Spieth a bone in there. I would if he won it this year, I'd be upset. But regardless.
Same.
It's always interesting to see all the live guys back, and our guy Brooks is back. So any new guys in the field you're looking at this year? I think this will be Akshay's first time. It'll be Knapp's
Man,
first time. Maybe Van
there's a
Rooyen's
ton.
first time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's the best group of debutants we've ever had. I mean, we're looking at Ludvig Åberg, who is
Oh
absolutely
yeah,
incredible.
Åberg.
He's already trending. His ball striking is unbelievable. I think he's already like fifth in the world. Unbelievable. Wyndham Clark, bunch of first timers, like you mentioned. Jake Knapp, he's my dude who won over in Mexico. That was
Højgaard.
sweet. Højgaard, Pavon, Shank,
Yeah, I can't
Ekrot.
believe it's Wyndham's first time. That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, Wyndham's been ever since he got that sports psychologist, he's been really crushing it. I think for those of you who don't know, watch Full Swing this season. I thought it was pretty good. Wyndham talks about it, struggling with his game and mentally, and hired a sports psychologist, and now he's listening to her, and he believes he's gonna make the putts, and they keep falling. So pretty
Yeah,
crazy.
man, he's putting. So many people have moved to the mallet now and have either the Jailbird or the Tour Spider or whatever version of mallet they're playing. But it just seems to be the preferred way to putt on tour now. I mean, Akshay just won with the Jailbird, but in a broomstick. It is crazy to see everybody gaming those.
Yeah, so do I think one of them can win? Probably not. It's actually never happened in the history of the Masters, and that's
Wow.
largely in part due to just being unfamiliar with these greens and how fast and undulated and how tricky they can be. I would imagine a lot of these first timers are going to be under reading these putts. They're going to break way more than they thought. And also, leg putting here is so important. It's just really hard to get it pretty close, when you're putting 50 feet away, because you might have a double, triple breaker that's lightning fast, and
Well, not to
you got.
mention on approach shots too, right? Like it's not only the putting, but when you're, approaches into greens, it's not like pros are
No,
always
yep.
firing at flags, but you just can't get as aggressive, right? You got to hit to spots. This is why
Yeah.
Tiger's so good here, is he knows exactly where to hit it so that the ball can end up, he could hit it 30 feet away from the pin and it rolls inside 6 feet. So,
Yeah,
also an underrated.
can't have bad misses here. Can't short side yourself. Getting up and down is nearly impossible on some of these. You'd be lucky to get it inside 10 feet on your chip if you miss on some of these holes. So yeah, it should be interesting to see how they do. Like I said, a lot of firepower. I mean, if you look, Åberg's really young. Akshay's really young. Højgaard's young. Knapp. One guy that sticks out down there too that no one's really talked about yet. Like, we've seen Åberg obviously break out. Højgaard's won. He's broke out. Knapp's won. Is this Rio Hiestetun? I don't even know how to say that, but he's Astun.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, Japanese dude. He's gonna be really good. Young guy. So, should be exciting.
So in terms of research, one of the things we wanted to talk about was some betting and value out there. Obviously, when the majors come around, everybody's doing pools, everybody's doing stuff at work and their clubs picking like six golfers, eight golfers, and usually it's done by winnings, so standings.
Yeah,
I
let's talk about
think
that real quick. Go
well
ahead.
I was just gonna say I think most people know kind of the top 10. There's the Schefflers, the Rahms, everybody always puts Koepka up there. You got to kind of pick between your lead horses, but obviously where typically your money's made or where you win these types of deals is those, tier two, tier three golfers. And kind of like we were just talking about, at least in my opinion, you want to find really good wedge players. And you want to, find guys that have played here before and know how to read the greens and make putts. Because there are days that guys will go out and shoot six, seven under. It happens. So when you start to build these lineups or make your picks, what are kind of the main things that you're looking for? And then who are some of the golfers that have stood out on paper to you?
Yeah, I mean, for those of you guys doing office pools and stuff, I would say that largely important in who you pick. All of them have different rules, but it depends on how many people are in the pool. For example, if you're playing a $1,000 pool, you're gonna have to. You can't just pick the top eight guys odds wise. That's gonna be popular, and you want to make a unique team. So what I would suggest is picking four or five at the top, and then skipping down into that middle range where some guys are 70, 80, 90 to one, who have firepower and are young and can make a run here. And I think some that stick out to me that I think are going to go a little under the radar are like Cam Young, Zalatoris. I could see, and Zalatoris has played well here, but the injury and rough start to the year, he's been playing a little better, but not many people will be on him, I don't think. Cam Young, obviously, what does he have? Seven second places. He's due for a win. I think some people are sleeping on him. He missed the cut here on his first try because he was completely lost on the green. So I expect him to be a little better this year. But yeah, those are two guys kind of I like in that mid-range that people might overlook a little bit.
What about everybody always wants to talk about the faves. I mean, I know every year we have the Rory McIlroy debate. I mean, he's hitting it well. He's putting a lot better. In my opinion, nobody's beating Scheffler right now. He's just so good in every facet of his game and has obviously won here before. But, let's talk about the big four, right? Rory, Rahm, Brooks, and Scheffler. I think you're probably in the same realm as me that like Scotty's the heavy fave there, but you could probably make arguments for all four, right? Like, what are you going to be looking for between those four guys? Because a lot of people in pools and a lot of stuff, like you got to choose one of the top dogs, and you probably have to have the winner, right? If you're going to do really well, who do you choose and who do you not choose?
Yeah, I mean, some pools have it where you can only pick they have six of the top odds guys in one portion or one section, and you can only pick one. Obviously, Scheffler's going to be the most popular. I mean, I can't. The last time we probably had someone around 3 to 1 to win the Masters was probably Tiger
Tiger,
in the
when he was even money.
2000s when he was about even money. So yeah, like you said, he's on another planet right now.
Is he really 3 to 1? He's plus 300.
Yeah, I mean, some have four, but between there somewhere, just pretty sick. Yeah, I mean, let's. It's gonna be a chalky pick, but Scheffler's my pick to win, and I'll explain a little bit why. If you look at his ball striking stats in the last 12 months, they're incredible. He's gaining almost 2.7 strokes ball striking, and that includes off the tee and your strokes gained approach, together combined. And looking back in the last, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years, the only person that had a better calendar year, or not even calendar year, a 12-month stretch was Tiger Woods from January 06 to February 07. Tiger was number one in that. That's all time. That's anyone's ball striking stats. Maybe not all time. I'm not sure if it goes back to like, the Nicklaus days and stuff, but just something interesting to know. It's just they're head and shoulders above everyone else. For reference, Tiger's number one at 3.62 strokes gained ball striking. Scheffler's 2.71, and then Rory's actually the third best with 1.74. So there's almost a full stroke better, which is just absurd. When we look at, how good all these guys are. Yeah, I mean, can't go wrong with Scheffler. I think the putter was holding him back a little bit, but you can tell now he's a little more comfortable with his setup. And I think I saw an interview where he talked about it much. It just has to do with the what kind of putter does he have? Do you know exactly?
It's got a mallet. It's the TaylorMade Spider.
Yeah, he just said it feels so good when he releases it, and it's constantly hits his putts square. So yeah, I mean, he's my pick. I think others can contend. It's interesting you named Brooks as the number four. I never really got Brooks r
How can he
right.
not be? How can he
That's just
not be?
it. Well, the books say it's Xander. But odds wise, but yeah, you're right. How can Brooks be over Xander when Xander's never won one and Brooks has won what, like four?
Yeah, and he played here well last year, and I mean, plus three in the last round. But if I remember right, we're going to deal with it again this week. Weather was a big factor last year too.
Yeah, it's gonna be
And
tough this week.
I just like Xander's kind of the guy that I've never been able to figure out either. And I just I think Brooks shows up in big time moments and the guy can just flat out ball, and I think the LIV guys have
Yeah.
some chips on their shoulder, and I'm really excited to see Rahm again. But I just can't imagine, like, if I can probably find a line somewhere, Brooks versus Xander. Xander's probably minus 130 or 140. I'd be betting the other side of that all day. I'd be taking Brooks.
Yeah, let me see if they got I can type it into my line here. It's probably a little less than that, but
You think? Yeah, I mean, probably relatively close, but if we had to, how can we make a case against Scotty, right? Like last year we were all in on Rory. I don't even did he even make the cut last year, Rory?
Rory, I want to say no. I want to say there were a bunch of
I
big
don't
names
think he
that
did. It
missed.
was
Rory
two
missed.
years that him and Kawa both hold out of the bunker and all that stuff, but I think last year he
JT
missed.
missed last year. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he missed last year, but so let's try and make a case for Rory, right? Like can he finally do the career Grand Slam? I was reading that, he's approaching Augusta differently this week, where in years past he would go, probably over practice, do too much there, and now he's working with Butch
Yeah.
Harmon, focusing more just kind of like staying in his normal routines. And so, I'm not the biggest Rory fan in the world, but obviously he's really good at what he does and has figured out that he's got to change something up. So be curious to see if he can do it this week. And he has had some top five finishes here before. We know he can play well here, so there's no reason to think that he can't come out and get hot.
Yeah, I mean, this course should be built for him on how long he is and the angles he can take. A lot of these holes off the tee favor a right to left worker of the ball, and Rory actually used to primarily just hit the high draw, but he does both now. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like at this point there's just so much pressure on him that it's just a little weird. It probably feels a little weird for him. Like, why hasn't he won here yet? I think it largely depends on where he is on Sunday, because could I see Rory being in the final round with like Scotty in the final group winning? I don't think so, but
He'd be better if he had to come back from three or four.
right. If he's, four
Yeah,
or five
and shoot eight
down.
under. Yeah.
And can shoot and can play. That's vintage Rory. Can play,
Fast
just
and loose, baby.
go
Just
for all
rip
the
it and
pins,
go
no
for birdies. Yeah.
pressure. Yep, fire a Sunday 64 or whatever. I could see it, but it's gonna be tough, man. Scheffler's gonna be tough to beat.
All right, well, how about our call it tier two and tier three golfers? So we need to find some guys that, can make the cut that people aren't all going to pick. I mean, you start to think about office pools or whatever, and everyone's going to look at the leaderboard from last year and probably pick someone like Phil, right? Or maybe somebody similar to that, like a Bryson, thinking that they're going to be different. I know. Kind of in our inner circles, a lot of us are high on Neiman. His ball striking right now is also extremely good. He won that LIV tournament a few, maybe it was like 2 months ago. We were all thinking that he's going to play really well at the Masters. So, who are maybe some sleeper guys that people aren't necessarily thinking about that you could see at the top of the leaderboard? And you already said his name, even like a Justin Thomas. Someone who over the last year, people have just been talking about how bad he's playing. And right now, he's like sneakily playing a lot better. Stats are getting better, and he seems to have a little bit more confidence back. So, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a couple down here that I think are decent looks. Like you talked about before, Masters history is important here. I know he's not in very good form now, but a fan favorite and has had success here before. What about Ricky?
I kind of have a bone to pick with Ricky because I picked him last week. I'm pretty sure he missed the cut in you and I's season-long head-to-head. I just
Ah,
like
yes, I
when
remember.
I've watched Ricky, he's been really streaky, and it seems like he has the one really good round, but that's it. Like he had that one tourney where he. God, what did he shoot? He and Xander were like 10 or 11 under, something wild. That obviously is gonna get you in contention, but you got to have four good rounds or at least three solid rounds and not a dud. And he always seems to have one really bad round where he just doesn't have it. And Andy and I were just talking about this on the pod. Like when you're going out and playing golf, like there's gonna be days that you don't have it, right? You got to grind out that even round, that one under round, for those guys. And Ricky always seems to shoot like three or four over, and that kills you at Augusta, of all places, because it's really just hard to recover from that. So I don't know. I'm kind of off the Ricky train, at least for this week. I think he plays a lot better. He's still never won a major, right? Like he won the Players, but still hasn't won a major.
Second in all of them.
Yeah, second in all
Pretty
of them. So
crazy.
the
But yeah,
one.
if I had to pick some, I think we already kind of talk about these guys because they're debutants, but those tier three, tier four guys that are down there a ways that have some firepower, and you never know. That's just it. It's an unknown. You don't know how much practice they've been putting in or working hard around these greens and on the greens. But yeah, I mean, I like that Rio. Hizatsun, Nikolaj Højgaard's got a ton of power and is hitting it really well. And Jake Knapp as well just bombs it. The Masters layout has always been favorable to people that bomb it. You want to be able to score on these par fives because there's not much scoring it on the other holes. So very important. And yeah, it might actually be a little soft on Thursday. I know they have the best system in the world for drying it out, the drainage system, but they're going to get a ton of rain. In fact, we might not see much golf on Thursday. So let's talk about that for a second. If they're expected to get 3, 4 inches, I'm not sure how much they're going to go out and play, but how does that affect the course in your opinion, and what does it do to the scoring?
Well, so I'm not an expert on how the PGA sets this up, but let's hypothetically say they don't play Thursday at all, right? Or they get, a quarter of the field out there. Now you're going to have guys playing probably more than 18 holes on Friday, I would assume, or waking up really early Saturday. Like, let's just start there real quick and we'll talk about it. Like, how would that go? Because this happened at the Waste as well. Right, like you start stacking shotgun times, getting as many holes as you can in a day.
It's a little tricky, a little different, I think, with the Masters because remember, there's only what 70 golfers, so they don't need to get 144 out there to finish. So it's half the field. But what I will say is, and Tiger obviously can attest to this, walking Augusta National is not easy.
Not at all.
So you know. A lot of these guys that are, you know, approaching their 40s or whatever, if or in their 40s even, if they got to go out and play 27 holes or more, it's going to be tough. I was more so thinking about it in terms of the scoring. If it's softer, the greens will be more receptive, which is interesting because players will be able to fire at more pins because they don't have to risk, the greens being too firm and missing long or missing short side because it's going to be softer.
Well, we have
That's
some info
interesting.
from last year, right? Because didn't it rain 2 of the 4 days last year?
Yeah, I think it. In my opinion, I think it kind of levels the field a little bit because this it makes the scoring easier and if it was perfect conditions and the greens and obviously everything was rolling true and dry and tough, I think Scotty could legit win by five, but we're getting a bunch of rain. It really just depends how much they get and then how much they can dry out the course, but they have one. Obviously, they're state of the best in the world. So, state of the art
Well, yeah, I mean,
system.
from a golf course perspective, right? Naturally, softer conditions mean it's going to play a little bit easier, but at the same time, like you said, you even out a lot of stuff because the drivers aren't going to carry, or they're going to carry, but they're not going to roll out as far, right? And
Yeah, the
that
shorter.
advantage that like a the advantage that like a Tiger has of playing to certain locations to get the rollout isn't going to be there. And then the knowledge of putting and understanding the breaks and intricacies is not going to be there. And so not only does it even the field for the players, but one thing people don't think about is also the caddies, right? Like a lot of these caddies are also seeing Augusta for the first time. And I was fortunate to go there one time and truly, people do not understand the undulation of that golf course, and
So hard.
it is massive, big greens with humps in the middle of them. The fairways are huge, and you're walking up and down the hills. It's really big in between the holes as well, and so I just think there's also an aspect like from a caddy's perspective of. If you're a newer caddy out there, like, I don't know, the guy on Akshay's bag, right? Like he's been with them 1 week. He's probably never seen Augusta. He's gonna go out there and think he knows one thing, and all of a sudden you get out there and you got a completely different golf course, one from a condition standpoint, and two, you can't really prep for how difficult and big that golf course plays. And so there's just a lot of factors that go into it. So I think the other thing, like when you're looking at players, I wonder how much of an advantage there is going to be for maybe those guys that go out and call it the afternoon Thursday and then the morning Friday, right? Where maybe they're getting a little bit of those softer conditions for their 2 rounds, and then the people that are on the opposite side are getting a little bit tougher conditions. It could be something that, like, when you're building lineups or looking at players, that could definitely be a 1 to 2 stroke advantage, just depending strictly on the tee times.
Yeah, and it's too hard to predict at this point just because of the unknown. We don't know exactly what's going to happen Thursday. Now, I will say if they send the early guys out and it's pouring rain and really windy and they're forced to play half their holes, let's say they get nine in brutal, windy, rainy conditions, then they suspend play and don't go back out. That's going to be really good for the PM wave because they haven't played a hole yet, and the other guys had to go out and play nine in the shitty
And
conditions.
they're
So,
probably gonna go out first too, right? And they're gonna get the calmer conditions and they're gonna get the better in the afternoon. I mean, this is what happened at Waste Management with a lot of our lineups that we did. You remember that?
Yeah, and well, and also one thing back again with the Masters that, you know, like I said before, there's about half the field compared to a normal event. So it's kind of trickier. You know, it's not like some guys are teeing off at 7 in the morning and some are teeing off at 3 in the afternoon. 'Cause there's just not that many tee times, groups. So, that's what makes it a little harder to gauge if it's going to affect a certain wave, just because the gap is a lot smaller. On their tee times. So, yeah, it should be interesting. I hope they can get a little golf in. I don't know, but I also don't want them to send guys out there and make them play in the brutal conditions. And the, you know, it's just, it'd be nice to see it if, fair for both waves. You know, maybe Friday they play most of the golf and Thursday they don't hardly play at all. We'll see.
Well, let's switch topics a little bit. Everybody always likes to talk about just how awesome Augusta is with their food and beverage prices and the accommodations and you name it. Like you talk about going and dropping some money on merch. If you ever go to Augusta, you're probably, you know, dropping a hefty amount in the pro shop, but. I
For
wanted
sure.
to I wanted to get your take on Jared Ludeman wins the 2024 Masters, and he's got to do the Masters Club dinner the following year. I'm gonna read you Scheffler's from 2023. He did cheeseburger sliders, firecracked shrimp, tortilla soup, Texas ribeye steaks, and then a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie for dessert. Hideki's from a couple of years ago was a lot of Japanese, you know, appetizers were sushi, miso black cod, some of that wagyu,
There we
and
go.
strawberry shortcake. What's Jared Ludeman's Masters menu? You're winning the Masters and you got to host all the boys next year. What are you putting on there?
Well, before I say that, I'm pretty sure Rahm already his is known, right? His what he's having. He's doing some sort of like
Let me look. I'm pretty sure
he's
it is
doing
out.
some Spanish dishes he says that are you know, been in his family for years that maybe his grandma or someone made or something. So I'm
Yeah,
sure that will
here's
be
you want to hear
delicious.
Rahm's.
Yeah, it's here.
So his first course, I'm going to read these in Spanish and I'll say them in English. Ensalada de Texangüero, which is a crab salad potato. Main course is chuletón a la parrilla, which is ribeye with lettuce and peppers. Rodaballo al pil pil, which is asparagus. And then dessert is mil hojas de crema y nata, which is a puffy pastry cake, custard
That's
and
pretty
chantilly cream.
was pretty good Spanish.
It's got to be
No, that sounds
decent.
great.
I am going to Colombia this year, so I've been trying to work on mi español.
Nice. What would my menu be? You know, I haven't really put a ton of thought into it, but I kind of like the idea of just picking like your three favorite foods. For me, pizza number one. Let's get some like gourmet, really nice pizza going at this place. If we,
Love that.
we'll have a pizza party. Pizza, tacos, and some sort of nice cut of steak. I
Yeah, so
personally really like fillets.
you're not going theme. You're just going your
No, those are my
favorite
favorite. And then
foods.
for dessert, we'll roll out, you know, you can't really beat warm cookies with like ice cream. You know, or brownies or something. Though
Yeah,
that
so
mix is it.
you're like American meal, the
Yeah,
most
I mean,
standard
but I love tacos too.
pizza,
Get the
meat, cookies.
get those tacos going. You know, we got chicken tacos, we got brisket, we got wagyu, all the
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of scrubby. I've thought about this a lot.
tacos,
So I'm
man.
starting with my mini burger sliders. They're Akashi beef on the King's Hawaiian buns with a little mustard
Nice.
aioli. Those are like the appetizer sliders. And then for like call it a course or salad, I just love a really good Caesar salad. It's probably the most plain thing, but go to Caesar salad. And then for the main, be a butcher's cut steak, really flavorful.
Let's go.
With
We just
some
had one of
like,
those.
yeah. Well, you ready for this? My dessert ends up being the red velvet pudding cake from Steak 44, basically a replica.
Sharp. Yeah, that was delicious.
Then you're just gonna have to, convince everybody else to eat a lot of it so they end up being really full the rest of the week. Maybe get an
That sounds
advantage on the
great.
field. Yeah, Master's
I
menu,
like.
man. That's one of the coolest traditions in all of golf. I mean, Masters brings
Yeah.
out some of the best for the week.
For sure.
All right, so talk to me about picks. Let's
Let's
kind of
talk
build
about
our
some
DraftKings
bets.
lineup and some, yeah, some bets, maybe some 1v1s or some groups. I know you sent me a text today about, some guys that you like and then some guys that you were fading. And you always get really good numbers, so all of us fish that are betting later in the week might not get some of these, but what are you looking at?
Well, let's talk about that. You just said, I get really good numbers. I'll tell you guys a little bit of my process week in, week out. Monday morning, it usually starts. What I'm doing is checking out the tournament, who's in the field. I've built kind of my own little model and have an algorithm that spits out, the odds of all the golfers to win. And then you can plug them in to the computer for 1v1s, and it'll tell you what they think, my model thinks the odds should be. I'll give you an example for this week. Tiger, you gotta have some Tiger action, right?
Yeah. You think he's making the
Tiger,
cut?
I think so. Tiger versus Phil Mickelson. My model had Tiger as a slight favorite. We're looking at like -110. I found a
Wow.
+125. I found a +125, so I took it. I'll just
Well, let's
lead
talk
off some
about
of
there.
these.
Well, hold on, talk about that real quick. Everybody's gonna know about Tiger and Phil, right? Like, so what in your model had Tiger as a fave, right? Because Phil was T2 last year. Tiger's
Yeah.
obviously got his injuries. He's not looking good. I mean, this if there is a golf course he's gonna do well on, it's Augusta, yes. But how do you justify that? Like, you're just playing the numbers, right? So you're playing your model, but.
Just a numbers thing. I don't really look much into anything else. Is if the number's really good, I take it. That's a big movement. I mean, we're looking at 35 cents. So if my model says Tiger's -110 and I can get +125, it's a no-brainer bet. For those of you who don't know what that means, if it was even money, if you bet $100, you win $100, profit $100 if Tiger beats Mickelson. But in this case, if we bet $100 at +125 and we win, we get $125 back. So you're getting a little extra. I mean, Phil's just been playing so terrible on LIV. I mean, his stats are pathetic.
Really, has he?
I don't
See,
even,
I
he's.
don't follow Liv, so this is another
Just
aspect of like people doing research this week. Go check out what the guys are doing on Liv.
absolutely pathetic.
Is it bad? That's
It was just as bad last year too, though, and he came out here and got second. So, not a massive play for me. Just a one unit
Yeah.
bet. But gotta have some Tiger action. I know some people are on the side of they think he's gonna miss the cut. I don't think so. I mean, he made it last year, but then he had to WD. Let me look at
Hey,
something
I saw his
quick.
interview and he said if things come together, he believes he can win. And I know he always says that. He's not going to play a tournament unless he thinks he can win. But he looks like he's got that fire back. And clearly, this is what he preps for, right? He's playing the majors. And it's Tiger, man. It's Tiger.
Yeah, exactly.
While you're
So yeah, a
looking
little
at some of
time.
these other, while you're looking at some of these other ones, I really like the nationality props. Like the top Aussie, top South American. We're betting
Those
my
are
guy
really
Van
fun.
Rooyen. Those are really
Yeah.
fun. Really fun bets.
Yeah. So those who don't know, that for these big tournaments, they do it for other ones too, but these ones are the most fun. They run top nationality props. So, for example, who's going to score or who's going to be the best American? Who's going to be the best South African, Aussie? Literally all the countries that have at least two guys, you can get some sort of prop. So I plugged them in, and a couple that stood out to me were Adam Scott, top Australian. I got plus
Who's the fave
425.
there, Cam? Cam Smith?
No, actually, Cam's been going down quite a bit because
Jason Day?
of how terrible he's been playing on the LIV. It was pretty close. Yeah, it's a mix between Day, Minwoo's in there. They were all kind of about the same, but Adam Scott was the favorite. In my model, and I got a good number on him. So, and Adam Scott likes this place. He's won before and plays well.
Hey, I always want to take Adam Scott when we play. That's kind of my guy.
Yeah, what a swing, huh? Beautiful swing. Let's see, a
It's one
couple
of the best.
top Englishmen. I got Fitzpatrick about 2 to 1. So we're looking
You
at
like
him and
Fitz
him and.
this week, huh?
It's a good course setup for Fitz. I mean, he's really good with his longer irons too. Just a great putter. Doesn't really ever
He's
get in
got the
trouble.
Bettinardi in the bag, baby. He's got the
There you
Betty.
go.
Well, and did
You're
you see
pl
the deal with his driver?
No.
So he was hitting the driver like shit, and he kind of came out and talked about it. And I think he's Titleist. I can't remember for sure. I want to say he's Titleist, but regardless, came out and was like, "Yeah, I'm just not hitting it well with the driver." And I sent it in to get regripped and all this stuff. And then whoever his like tour rep is came back and you're like, we had to put a weight in the handle when we regripped it. You got to take the weight out. Dude
Forgot
takes the
about
weight
it.
out and just starts striping it.
Yeah, he
And it's
forgot it was in
just,
there. That's
yeah, I
hilarious.
mean, this is going to air before the next podcast where Andy and I talk about this, but it truly is some of the smallest little things for these professional golfers that can make just the biggest difference, right? Like going from a blade to a mallet. Changing, the loft and lie, maybe changing a setting on a driver, a grip, whatever it might be, that one thing can really be the key to unlocking their potential. And ever since he, did that, he's got his driver back and he's hitting a lot better.
That's wild. Yeah, Fitz does a lot of weird things. He was one of the first guys to, he pretty much always leaves the pin in still when he putts,
Yeah.
especially on downhill putts.
It's wild though, because
He
stats
also,
tell you not to do that.
it's weird too, because you'd think he'd, be on top of that. He also chips, cross-handed.
Yeah, his famous bunker shot at the U.S. Open 2 years ago, or was that the Open Championship? U.S. Open, either way, where he had that like 60-yard bunker shot and he hit it cross-handed. You remember that shot?
I do remember that. I didn't know he hit that shot cross-handed. I think
Yeah.
usually he just chi he does his little chips cross-handed, but I didn't know he did it from that on that shot.
Oh
That's
yeah, dude, that's
crazy.
what made it so incredible is he was like it was just working for me and so I did it and hit a really good shot.
That's wild. We got a couple amateurs in the field. I like this kid, De La Fuente, top amateur. 4 to 1. So those are some fun bets. Get some good odds there. And then they, all these sites, they come up with a group of five or six guys, and you can bet a certain guy in the group at odds. And I found some good ones that I dabbled in. Most around +300 to +400. So you're getting pretty good odds. And then obviously matchups. I fired a bunch of them. Just numbers that I like on guys that I think are gonna play better here. For example, I got Jason Day at plus money versus Alatoris. I got Hideki at -110 versus Brooks Koepka. That's an interesting one. Yeah, just a bunch of 1v1s, and then you can bet. A first round leader, you can bet to make the cut, to miss the cut, you can bet literally anything you want. They have so many props for this thing, it's pretty awesome. Just make some bets and sweat some golf. I mean, it's tough to beat that.
Yeah, it's one of the best. to wrap up, I got two questions for you. I think I already know the answer to the first, but who's more likely to win, LIV player or a PGA Tour player?
Yeah, I
Let's
mean, the
take away
obvious.
Scheffler and Rahm. Let's take away Scheffler and Rahm. Let's assume those two are even.
Yeah, it's interesting then. I still would have to lean PGA. I just don't think there's much firepower on LIV. I really don't. I mean, aside from Brooks and Rahm, I don't know. I can't really see Cam Smith. He's out of form. I can't see him contending. Hatton hasn't been playing
DeChambeau,
well.
Neiman.
Bryson's never played well here, even though he should, because it kind of suits his game. He actually kind of struggles on and around the greens. Maybe that's because he's chipping and hitting shots with a 7 iron shaft. It's a little trickier around these greens to maybe get that touch he wants. I don't know. It's pretty wild. Yeah, I like Neiman. Do I think he can win? I don't know, man. I don't know. Like he just won on LIV, but the amount of pressure that these guys are gonna have, like, I don't know, it's just gonna be so hard. And they're gonna have a good guy who's been there before and likely won nipping at their heels, whether it's
Yeah.
Scheffler, Rahm, obviously
Talk
Rory
about
has a
the roars that
record.
you hear too. I mean, another underrated and amazing thing about Augusta is people don't have their phones, man. People that are there, they are into
Yeah,
golf,
locked in.
right? Like they're
Locked in.
locked in. And that's not something that you get in a lot of golf tournaments. And then the last one that I thought was like really surprising, just giving the timing of it, was JT and Bones going away from each other. I mean, I know JT hasn't played well, but I can't
Little better.
imagine that you'd want to go away from like consistency and somebody who knows, pretty much everything there is about the game, this time of the year. Any like info or reading into that that you have either seen or any takes on, how this is going to affect JT's game this weekend? I mean, it's JT, right? Like it's somebody everybody watches.
Yeah, that one was weird, and I don't think anyone really saw it coming. I honestly don't know what's going on there or why that happened. Because he was playing a little better, and you know he had that slump, and but he has been playing better. I really don't know. Strange. I obviously can't be good, like you said. The week of the Masters. Interesting to note, Hovland. I just read that he's back out with. Maybe his new back with his old coach. I think that's what it was. If you look at Hovland's stats, he won twice last year at the end of the year towards for the FedEx, and then just kind of I don't know, he just kind of fell off a cliff and haven't really heard much about him. And so that's interesting. He's back with his coach, and he should play a little better, I think, this week. He's an interesting one, because if you look at Hovland last year around this time, we were getting what, 20-1 on him to win the Masters or
Yeah.
so, and this year they're like double odds. So
Yeah, he
some
just hasn't
nice
really been
numbers
making
out there.
noise, I don't know if he's got kind of a lingering injury or what, but I'm super excited to watch. I hope the weather doesn't play too big of a effect. I'm excited to see some of the live guys. I hope that, this weekend kind of kick starts things for golf in a good way. I mean, the sport is in such a bad spot right now professionally, and with just, all the kind of like money and talk about LIV and PGA and really no one, even the players knowing, what the future holds. And it's weekends like this with, really good fields in a major that I think brings the sport back to life. It gets people really excited. And so hopefully, PGA and LIV guys take all that serious and we get a really good tournament. And hopefully come Sunday at 4 or 5 o'clock or whatever time it ends up being, we're watching a really cool last few holes of that drama that we all like seeing on Amen Corner and then coming down 16, 17, 18. It's what we all live for, no pun intended. So
Let's go.
hopefully you're watching Sunday Red, baby.
Let's go. Before we send them off, let's click in a lineup. I know you can't see the salary. You just tell me. We'll go every other picking guys. You tell me kind of who you want on there, and we'll make one.
Well, two guys I for sure want on there that I think are value are Adam Scott and Neiman.
All right, so we got Scott at 7,100, Neiman at 9,600.
Neiman's
I think Sheff.
9,600. Holy cow. What's Scheffler?
12-1. I think Scheffler's going to win, so I'll click in Shefty.
What's that leave our
So we got
average at?
7K for three spots.
Who are the guys down to the sixes?
Tons of guys, all the first timers, EVRs down there, Benny on, Højgaard, Bradley, Fox, Straka, Poston,
Let's tag in
Sturgeon.
EVR because I know you like him for top South American and
That's your
obviously
boy.
got ties to him via shout out Alex Galgaard. Been on the pod twice. I think he's just been playing really good golf this year too. I
Yeah,
like
for sure.
EVR.
All right, we got two left. We got we can do some 2v2s here. We're looking at like Henley and Patrick Reed. We're looking at Siwoo Kim and Fleetwood. We're looking at Jaeger and Rose. That low sevens range.
I like Fleetwood. I think Fleetwood's going to play well this week. He's sneakily been hitting it all right. He's kind of under the radar and doesn't have as many you know how he kind of had that time maybe 2, 3 years ago where everybody was like high on Fleetwood and expecting him to do all these things. And I
Yeah.
think that kind of got to him a little bit. And I feel like he's going to be a guy that might be able to, play well this weekend when no eyes are on him. Let's plug in Fleetwood.
All right, we got Fleetwood
What's
in
that leave
there.
us?
We got 7,100, but I think we should let's leave some salary on the table to make this unique. We won't use it all, so let's get someone else in the
68,
sixes.
69, 7.
Yeah, I'll just
What's
start reading the
Tiger?
guys here.
What's Tiger?
68. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, like if I was playing in a dome, right? Like if this was a $1,000 buy-in or something crazy, I'm probably not plugging in Tiger. But you think he's gonna make the cut? And I mean, God, he just needs something to get going, and they can start pouring in. He'd be fun to plug in there. What else is around 6,900?
I like it. Let's go, Tiger. We got the Sunday red on. I don't know. No
The
one's
new
gonna
Sunday
play
Red,
him.
man. I kind of like the logo. I didn't like it right away, but I mean, Tiger makes everything look good, dude. He was out there repping it, and it's just like the nice gray sweater with just the right in the center, kind of up here with the tiger.
Yeah, it
And
looks good.
I saw he was talking about how like the outlines of the tiger represent all of his majors that he's won. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's sweet. I didn't know that. That's awesome. All
Yeah.
right, that's the final. That's the final. We got
What is it?
Scheffler, Neiman,
Scheffler, Tiger, Fleetwood.
Scott, EVR, and Tiger. Thick
Yep.
squad. That might
Should
be
we
the
put that?
Millie
We
right
got to
there.
put that in something and just see how, put that in the Millie in DraftKings.
That's the Millie winner right there.
We'll chop
All
that
right.
one in case it banks.
Chop, chop. Good
All
stuff.
right, buddy. We'll talk to you all week. I'm sure we'll be following Tiger, and best of luck with all your bets and lineups. I know you got more than most.
Let's
Best of
go.
luck this week,
Masters
buddy.
week. Can't beat it. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. See you.